You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, let's get started with prayer, and we'll get going. Father God, we pause now to study your word. Thank you for that opportunity to do so. Thank you for this church where we can come assemble to study your word of God freely without persecution. We pray for the lesson to follow that gives glory to your son Christ and the message that you have for us in the scriptures, particularly in the message in Ephesians regarding the mystery directed to us today as members of the body of Christ. We pray that we understand these scriptures and we grow up in the rightful knowledge of the word rightly divided. So we pray now for your word and for your lesson. For it's Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. Well, we're entering the holiday season. Holiday season starts with October 31st, Halloween. How fun is that? And then it usually parlays into Thanksgiving, and after that, Christmas. Well, lo and behold, the retail industry has figured out that, man, there's nothing in this Thanksgiving. It just can't be celebrated correctly. So we need to really hype up this Halloween, sell a whole bunch of candy, and then all of a sudden, the very next day, put up all the Christmas decorations. Well, Christmas is probably not the right term. Holiday season, because we wouldn't want to be offensive to have Christmas, because that has the word Christ in it. Well, I thought with Halloween coming up this Friday, I have a lesson on the website, rightdivision.com, Should Halloween Be Hallowed? I encourage you to go look for that study. You can search for it in the search box, Should Halloween Be Hallowed? And you can find a lesson on that. But for Halloween, I thought it would be a great time to tell you a really scary story. You know, everybody likes a scary story. Matter of fact, at our house, a couple of years ago, Lord of the Rings came out. And I'm a science fiction fan, so I got into Lord of the Rings. And there's a character named Gollum in this story. Well, Gollum's not a very attractive guy. So I went to the store one day, and there was a Gollum mask. So I said, man, I gotta have that. So I got this Gollum mask with the intent of having a little fun on, you know, Halloween. Now, we don't celebrate Halloween. We take that night and usually go elsewhere. We try to keep the lights off so nobody comes knocking. But, you know, we buy candy, so if we need it, we have it. You know? So, you know, something wrong with that. But I said, hey, Kathy, man, we had Friday. Let's see. Many years ago, Halloween was on a Friday night. Carter, just like this year, Carter had a friend over to spend the night. So I thought, man, it would be great while they were sleeping about 12, 1 in the morning, to walk in there and go, Gollum, ah, surprise! I envisioned this sight being, you know, glorious, screaming children. How great would that be? Sure enough, I fell asleep. I wake up 6 in the morning. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I forgot that. Well, you know, I probably can still do it. I haven't lost hope. So about 7, I heard some noise. Some child was in the bathroom. I thought, well, Carter had gotten up to go to the bathroom. So I put the mask on, and Kathy was vehemently against me doing this, saying that if you scare Clayton, I'm going to be so angry with you. Oh, it's not Clayton. He's fine. I'm going to get Carter and Ryan, his friend Ryan. So what I did is I stood outside the door of the child in the bathroom with his Gollum mask on. Just gritting. I'm so happy. All of a sudden, the door's open and Clayton's there. He lets out a blood-curdling scream, runs to mother, and I know I'm history. I mean, I know I'm totally history. I figure, oh, okay, when you're five, he wouldn't be scared now. But I know. As Clayton said, he ran to mother's room crying. Well, knowing I'm in the doghouse now, you can't turn back. I still have to get the grown-up children, to get the full effect of my $50 worth of this mask. So here I decide to wait in the bathroom in the hallway. So when they walk from Carter's bedroom to the living room, I'll jump out and say, "Surprise, I'm Gollum." Well, Ryan is one of Carter's friends. He's very astute, an elite type of person. He came down the hall, and I was like, "Ugh!" And he looked over, and he just didn't flinch. He walked in the living room. I was like, I ran out to him, "Weren't you scared?" "Well, I kind of was, but I knew it was you." "Okay. Hey, Mr. Champion, why don't you do it again? I'll call Carter from getting out of bed to the living room, and you'll get him." "That's great." So here I'm in collusion, you know, I'm corrupting the youth. So Ryan calls Carter. He's coming down the hall. I do, you know, "Whoa." Carter is like, jumps back 3 feet in the air. He looked like death warm. I mean, just completely aghast. It was so funny. I was laughing for death. I still laugh today. I had to tell that story. But that's Halloween. And the retail industry wants you to buy those masks, wants you to buy those candies, and wants you to get really hyped up to spend that money in Halloween. It's one of those holidays that the retail industry really likes to exploit. The reason they can't exploit Thanksgiving is because it's a holiday setting aside for people to be thankful. Well, should you be thankful by buying a big screen TV? It doesn't work. You know, being thankful is cooking a meal with turkey and dressing, having family sit around the table, and honoring God and worshiping and basically giving praise and thanking Him for the blessings we have in our family, in our homes, in our country. So the real estate industry really didn't understand that, so they pretty much pushed that away. But the really scary story that I wanted to tell you, the Apostle Paul has in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. You have a handout, so if you look there, we see that in times past, we were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh. That we at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants and promise. We were having no hope, and we were without God in the world. Now, that's a pretty scary condition to be in. The Apostle Paul's reminding us that that was you. You were in this condition. Well, this sounds really bad. What does it all mean? Why is circumcision so important? When was I without Christ? Should I become Jewish? What covenants of promise were made? Why don't I have those covenants of promise? I think I would have some hope, but what should I hope for? What should I have my hope in? I would really like to have God on my side. Why am I without God? Well, if we take a journey back through Scripture to tell this story properly, we have to understand why Paul is reminding us that we were in this condition. Now, before we go there, let's go there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It started. The story began. And verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Them. Verse 31, "And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So on that sixth day, Adam and Eve were created, and God said it was good. Now you go to chapter 2, verse 15. "He took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now he gave him a job. He put him in the garden, he should dress it and keep it. And he said in verse 17, "You can eat of everything, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So he gave them one rule that shows him that God created man with free will. He had the free will to choose between right and wrong. He had a job to do. His job was to dress, keep the garden. Page 2. So, now if he's dressing and keeping the garden, he let some bad stuff in. Genesis chapter 3. We see here the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which God made, and he came into the garden. And he said to Eve, "Didn't God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, but ye shall, lest ye, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, here Eve was quoting God, but what did she do? She added to the scriptures, saying, "Ye shall not touch it, lest ye die." God didn't say that. He said, "You should not eat it." Well, Satan saw a little trick there. He had her touch the food, the fruit, and she didn't die. She reached out and touched it, didn't die. Well, maybe God didn't tell us the truth. So, verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, it was a tree that desired to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate it." Then she brought Adam and said, "Hey, I've done this. You probably should do too." So Adam had a choice. Do I obey God or follow my wife? He followed his wife. He had the tree, and now they were both fallen. Adam and Eve were created without sin. When they did this, sin entered the world. Now, what did God say if they ate of this tree? They would die. But they didn't realize it wasn't an immediate death. The sentence of death was pronounced. We go down to verse 17. God said unto Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, thou hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns and also in thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return." Verse 22, "The Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he pour forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove man out of the garden, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and the flaming swords which turn every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So, Adam and Eve, failed. Sin entered the world. And they proceeded to have babies. They produce offspring and we come to Genesis chapter 6, and all those people were corrupted. Verse 5, Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the hearts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was given the task to build an ark and take his family with two of every animals to through the flood. So God brought a flood on the earth. And now Noah and his family, his children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, came through the flood and started to replenish the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons, said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, Genesis 10:1 says, these are the generations of the son of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were born sons after the flood. So, here we have Adam and Eve created. The earth started to be populated. The earth became corrupt. Only Noah and his family found grace to get through the flood. So now we're down to Noah. So now Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are reproducing. And they come to a time frame in Genesis chapter 10, verse 30. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. They all were sitting around talking, hey, we're pretty good. They said in verse 4, let's build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the earth. So they decided to build this tower to spite God. So it seems like man, when the period started, time passes, and he gets better. No, he doesn't. He gets worse. And then judgment comes. We've already seen judgment with the flood. Now that the earth is repopulated through Noah and his sons up to this Tower of Babel, the Lord God came down. Verse 6, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, if you recall back in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, the Lord said, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. So here we have the condition revisited at the Tower of Babel. So what did the Lord do? Well, he went down there, he confounded their languages that they might not understand each other's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth when they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of that tower was called Babel, for the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence the Lord did scatter them abroad the face of all the earth. So mankind had fallen from the Garden of Eden, become so corrupt. God flooded the earth, but for Noah and his family. But after the flood, mankind wanted to make a name for themselves and built a tower to spy God. So God came down and decided to stop dealing with mankind directly. So he called an individual named Abram. He told Abram, hey, get out of this country. I'm going to make you a peculiar nation. I'm going to bless the nations of the earth through you. So God became selective in his relationship with mankind. He called Abram in Genesis chapter 12. You can see here verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 17 continues, verse 5. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, and thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful and multiply, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and thy seed after thee. So, here Abraham was told his seed will multiply like the stars in heaven, like the sand on the beach. You can't count them. And furthermore, he made a covenant with Abraham. It was an everlasting covenant. So this covenant involved a blessings, promises of blessings. Part of these blessings was physical land. You see in verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So, he promised them land, blessings. Now, part of the identification of being this status was given in verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you must be circumcised. So, if you remember Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by the circumcised. So you see here, circumcision was a requirement to be Jewish. And it was important for the Jew to be circumcised on the eighth day. In verse 13 he says, he that is born in thy house, he shall be brought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So in order to be part of this club, you had to be born of Abraham's flesh, his descendants, you had to be circumcised. Abraham became the first Jew. Now the descendants of Abraham were Isaac and his son Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Genesis chapter 3, verse 28, where the Lord changed his name. He said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God, and with men hast prevailed. Even Joseph, who was sold into slavery, when he was reunited with his family in Egypt, asked them that when he died, be sure to take my bones to the promised land, because that's what the Lord had promised. Genesis 50, verse 24 says, and Joseph said unto the brethren's brethren, when I die, and God will surely visit you, bring you out this land, and will show what he, and will bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So, in effect, as the story goes, you may have seen it in the Ten Commandments, the movie, when Israel is leaving Egypt, there's a scene where they're bringing the bones of Joseph out of Egypt to go bury him in the promised land. So, being a part of Abraham's family was the only way to receive the promises and blessing made to Israel. It seemed that it was really advantageous to be a Jew, because God was selective. He was no longer dealing with mankind as a whole. He was dealing just with his nation of Israel. Now, fast forward to New Testament times. Hey, what did Jesus say? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, think that I not that I am come to destroy the law and the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Now, you remember when Abraham was called, he was given the requirement of circumcision. Now, if you look at the books in the Bible, 39 are the old, 27 are the new. If you look at the weight, I mean, the number of pages, okay? Look at the number of pages in the Old Testament. That's all Jewish. Everything was written for the Jew. The law was given for the Jew. Prophecies were given to the Jews. If you try to go in the Old Testament and apply any of that to you, you're out of context. You know, today, people might say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, it's not in your handout, but if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, here's the beginning of the New Testament. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Oh my gosh. He took us right back to Abraham in the first verse. Then the remaining part of the chapter take you back the lineage of Christ, which is totally Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. I'm not Jewish. Should I be Jewish? Jesus was Jewish. I'm supposed to be like Christ. Matthew 10:5-6 says, the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, he's telling them, he has his 12 apostles. He's got his team together. He's given the instructions how to go out and tell everybody about him. And he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was sending his apostles out to the Jews. Gentiles weren't a part of this. Matthew 15, there's a story about a woman of Canaan who cried unto him, saying, have mercy on her. Her daughter was vexed with the devil, and she was wanting help. And of course, verse 23 says, he answered her not a word. His disciples, who he had told to go out and preach unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, said, send her away. She's really bothering us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He reiterated the fact that he was there for the Jews. So, after Jesus was crucified, raised again, he told his apostles to go be witnesses. Acts chapter 1. Now, it's funny. Here Christ was crucified, he was raised, and he was here with the apostles. And they had one question. That question was, when are you going to open this thing up to the Gentiles? No, that wasn't it. They said in verse 6, Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Here it is again, Jewish. Should I be Jewish? He says in verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Who are these apostles supposed to witness to? Israel. Acts 2, verse 22, they were out there saying, ye men of Israel. When they're preaching, they go to the Israelites. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know. Israel. Gentiles seem to be on the outside looking in. What advantage has a Jew? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 3, 1 and 2, what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the deal, man. They had the promises. They had the blessings. They had the calling. Jesus came unto the not to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told his apostles to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Man, us Gentiles are dogs. In Acts chapter 9, something happened. Saul, who was the Apostle Paul before he came the Apostle Paul, he was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest and desired of him a letter to Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any Christians, whether they be man or woman, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem to receive the same punishment Stephen did. Now, Acts chapter 7, Stephen gave a great testimony about Jesus Christ to the Jews, and they were so fired up, they stoned him. Saul was consenting unto his death. So Saul was a bad dude. He was a Pharisee, which is like the elite of the Jews. And he wanted the authority from the high priest to go to Damascus to find any other Christian who were purporting his theory and to bind them and bring them back and persecute them. When verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus and said, suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. Wouldn't you wish that happened today? Wouldn't you wish a light from heaven would suddenly shine on somebody? It'd be me. But, you know, how about somebody in politics? Well, it didn't happen that way nowadays. God is dealing with grace. He's only dealing with mankind through grace. But this light from heaven, and Saul fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for me to kick against your pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? I mean, 180 reversal. I mean, here he's going on the road to Damascus to go find these Christians and bind them and bring them back and just take care of them. And all of a sudden, the Lord came down and said, what are you doing, buddy? You're on the wrong side. Lord, what will you have me do? Well, he brought him there. He said, go into Damascus, find a guy named Ananias, and he's going to let you know what to do next. So the Lord called Ananias, and he said, hey, Saul's going to come to you, and he's going to seek you out. Now, Ananias, he's kind of a Christian, and he was in the know, so he knew about Saul being somebody who was not very good to entertain. Because Saul, basically, if he was entertaining Saul, basically his life was over. So we see here in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, Ananias answered the Lord, said, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Man, he's a bad dude. You want me to meet with him? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, here the Apostle Paul. Ananias was told he has a three-part ministry to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. The Apostle Paul carries out this order in reverse order that the list was given. He goes to the Jews first. He's given witnesses to the kings. And at last, he gives the testimony to the Gentiles. He's the only one that was authorized from God to be an apostle of the Gentiles. Every other apostle was sent to the Jews. You see this in Romans 11:13. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my office. So, there were 12 apostles that were given the ministry of circumcision. we see that Paul was given the status of the apostles to the Gentiles. Remember 9:15, where he was given to the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Now, fast forward, Acts chapter 28. We see Paul call the chief Jews together. He says, though I have committed nothing against the people of custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner under Jerusalem in the hands of the Romans. Verse 20, he says, with the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So all the way through Acts, Paul was going to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Here in Acts 28, he appealed to these leaders of Jerusalem, persuading them concerning Jesus both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, morning till evening. Well, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And the Apostle Paul said a very critical piece of Scripture. He says, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. That word sent is critical because that word is authorized. This is the first authorization the Gentiles were given to receive the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, what a great time to be a Gentile. We don't need to be a Jew anymore. We're not on the outside looking in. We're on the inside looking out. What a blessing we have in Christ today, where there's no national calling. There's but an individual calling. An individual calling from Christ to you to have a personal relationship with Him. Now, this calling has its blessings and inheritance. Israel has their blessings and inheritance. We don't rob from them. They still get those. We have a whole new program. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 books in the New Testament. He wrote more than anybody else. 7 were written before Acts 28:28. 7 were written after Acts 28:28. Ephesians was the first book written after Acts 28, where he said the Gentiles are now authorized to receive your plan. Ephesians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 2:4, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 6, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus ye were sometimes far off or made dear by the blood of Christ. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two, one new man, so making peace. Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard the dispensation of grace of God which is given to me, you were, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto men, unto the sons of men, as now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is our package. Verse 8, unto me, whom in the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which this secret, this mystery, that's that word secret, was hidden from the beginning of the world in God. So remember, the first verse we looked at, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Guess what? Before that, the Godhead met and planned out this secret and hushed it up. So this secret was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. And here the Apostle Paul was given the right to open the mystery, open the secret, and share it with the Gentiles. What a glorious time to be a Gentile. What a glorious time to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As you can see, Paul wrote these seven books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1 and 2 Timothy. These books are our private mail. All Scripture is for us, for our learning. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16. But not all Scripture is to us. These books are to us. And when Paul was coming to the end of this ministry, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but under all them that also love his appearing. Are you one of those all them? We're part of that all them team. I want to be at all them team. So back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. The scripture reading this morning was verse 11 and verse 12. But in verse 13 it says, but now in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. My prayer for you is that you would be part of that all them team. You would be excited for his appearing. And that you know that in the blood of Christ, in that relationship you have with Christ, you receive his inheritance, you receive his blessings, and you're seated right now in the heavenlies with him. And that makes you an ambassador for Christ here on the earth. So go be a good ambassador on Halloween, Thanksgiving, whatever day of the week it is. Go praise his name. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your scripture where we're able to go and learn the story and the fact that there's a difference between a Jew and a Gentile. We know that you had dealt with mankind through the Jews. You called Abraham and made a nation there through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And they had a requirement of circumcision, the law, and all the Old Testament and the prophets involved Israel. We learn that in the New Testament, it still was a focus on Israel until the Apostle Paul was given the right to be an apostle to the Gentiles. As we learn the lesson, he went to the Jews first, but in the end, they rejected the fact that you're Christ, Jesus. But he was authorized to say that the Gentiles will hear it and believe us, Lord. We thank you for that, the fact that we get to proclaim the truth and the mystery, that our calling is to help all people see, our Christians see, this purpose in the Scriptures. And we just thank you for the responsibility of that and pray that we do a good job according to your will and purpose. For it's in Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.